these last few weeks, the stories of John's Gospel have said who Jesus Christ is in relation to us. Like, for the woman at the well, we are incarnate thirst, and Jesus Christ is the living waters. Only he can satisfy us. For the man born blind, you and I are conceived in darkness, and Jesus is the light of the world. For Lazarus, we are reminded that we're all, as St. Augustine puts it, Lazarus represents every man, dead to God and bound by sin. And Jesus says, I am the life and the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. In this gospel, Jesus relativizes death. That's how Father Barron describes it. He's telling us death is not the ultimate reality. In Christ, death loses its finality. Death is no longer an absolute, it's transitional. They say the real enemy of life, with a capital L, is not death, but sin. Sin is the only thing that can destroy eternal life. So our Lord says Lazarus is asleep. He says it's only a temporary setback. Death is something we awaken from. And St. Augustine has a commentary on the three passages where our Lord raises people from the dead. The three whom our Lord raised were the daughter of Jairus, the son of the widow of Nain, and Lazarus. And St. Augustine says that those three restorations to life represent degrees of sin, degrees of death. They're actual historical restorations, but he puts a spiritual interpretation to them. The daughter of Jairus had just died, and she remains inside her house. And he says that's the kind of death that remains within. It doesn't go out, but it remains that spiritual death which festers and poisons within. And the point is that God's healing wants to go deeper than our external actions. He wants to heal the root cause, okay, that he wants to heal that festering, that poison within us. The son of the widow of Nain, he's in his funeral procession when he's restored to life. That's a spiritual death that has begun to be expressed in my actions. So that festering has overflowed into the way I act. And the joy of the mother who has the son returned is the joy of the church, who rejoices when we are restored from spiritual death. And finally, there's Lazarus. Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Surely there will be a stench, says his sister. Okay, and that's the kind of death that people, it's not only a festering within me, it's not only expressed in my actions, but it's death in full bloom, sin in full blossoming, where people can see it in me, people can smell it in me. Sin has established itself as a habitual part of my life. My anger, my pride, my lust, others can see it and smell it. My spiritual death now affects others. And the point is that Jesus even goes to those hopeless sinners. There's no one beyond the mercy of God. Jesus goes to the grave of Lazarus, who seems dead and no hope, and he brings him back to life. He goes to those darkest places. And the point is that no sin is beyond the mercy of God. As Jesus approaches Lazarus's tomb, he groans. And St. Augustine says, that's God's deep pain at our dysfunction. God wants us to be fully alive. St. Irenaeus says, the glory of God is man fully alive. Okay? And God groans at our dysfunction. Jesus wept in that gospel. It breaks God's heart that we are not fully alive. Jesus commands, take away the stone. The stone represents those humanly insurmountable obstacles. Jesus removes that finality of death. He raises us out of despair. When we think no one can help us, our Lord says, take away the stone. The power of Jesus is greater than any hold that sin can have on my soul. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. He calls us personally. He calls us by name. He calls us individually by his grace, because he wants us to be fully alive, because that is his glory. Now, maybe one example, one story that might make it more concrete is that story of Fulton Sheen, who, he says, I received a call from two little girls who came to the rectory to go immediately to an apartment house near the Hudson River. They said, Kitty is dying. Who is Kitty? He asked. They said, don't you know Kitty? Everybody knows Kitty. I inquired about her illness, and the little girl said, she is dying. Fulton Sheen says, I took the Blessed Sacrament and holy oils, climbed up the five dingy flights of stairs to one of the dirtiest rooms that I've ever seen. Meat, fat, papers, rags were all over the floor, and over in the corner lay a dirty cot and this young girl on it. She was very sick. Are you Kitty? She said, yes. Kitty, would you like to make your peace with the Lord? Kitty said, no, I can't, because I'm the worst girl in New York City. Fulton Sheen said, no, you're not the worst girl in New York City, because the worst girl in New York City says, I'm the best girl in New York City. Fulton Sheen says, I begged and pleaded with her to go to confession, and she said, no, I can't, I'm too rotten. She said, look at my arms all black and blue. That is from my husband. I don't bring enough money from the streets, and he beats me. Now he's poisoned me, and I'm dying of poison. Fulton Sheen says, I rehearsed for her the parables of our Lord, and finally she went to confession. And then he gave her the healing sacrament, and her health was restored. Okay. So, like we say, to the most hopeless cases, our Lord removes the finality of that stone. Nothing is beyond the mercy of God. And ultimately, Kitty became a missionary on the streets, bringing others to Fulton Sheen, who needed the sacrament of confession. Even Lazarus, it says, many believe because of him. Okay, so we see in that person of Lazarus symbolizing the depths of sin to which we could fall into, but also the infinite mercy of God restoring us back to life.